wall of a church family that we can have fun with, we can play with, we can pray with, and we can enjoy each other. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I believe God gave us senses of humor. I believe God gave us senses of love, senses of compassion, and hopefully for Thomas, God will continue to forgive us. Today I'm going to be preaching from the book of Philippians. So if you have your Bible, open up to the book of Philippians. We'll be starting off our new year there today. Philippians, being Philippians chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, open up Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through to 14. And the title of today's sermon is The Secrets to a Successful Life. The secret to living a successful life. How many people want to live a successful life? Amen. How many people just want to live life? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Sounds good.
I want to do both.
There you go. Well, let's see what God's Word has to say here. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. It says, pressing toward the goal is the heading in my Bible. It says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay a hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of for me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this new year, Lord. I thank you that we're alive to be able to celebrate it. Thank you, God, for the health that we have, Lord. Some of us have better health than others right now. Some of us are struggling with sickness. But God, I know that you're watching over all of us, Lord. And I thank you, God, for that. Lord, I thank you for taking those 99 sheep, Lord, and sending that one, going to find that one lost sheep, God. Because maybe there's one lost sheep here today, Lord. Maybe I'm the lost sheep. Maybe you're the lost sheep. We don't know, Lord. But I thank you, God, that you go after that lost sheep, Lord. That you go and seek them, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, that you promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. Whatever troubles or trials or tribulations we're going through, we have a God that's bigger than those troubles, trials, and tribulations. And so we praise you for that, Lord. God, help us to keep our eyes on you this year, Lord, not just this day, not just next day, but God, all through the year, Lord, as we worship you. We thank you, God, for everything that you do, but we thank you most for sending your only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins, Lord. Without Jesus, Lord, we wouldn't have a hope, and so we thank you, God, for loving us so much that you gave us your Son. And we thank your Son, Jesus, Lord, for going through all the troubles that he went through, Lord, for living amongst us, Lord, without sin, Lord, and dying in our place so that we could be with you someday. Thank you, Lord, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, one of the great things that happens at New Year's at my house is we like to play board games. How many people like board games? Board games are fun, right? Board games are fun. Card games are fun. Unless you're playing with Miss Alva and then you lose every card game because she beats you. But other than that, card games can be fun too, But, I mean, you learn things from board games. They're enjoyable. Times you get your family around the table together just to have some fun, right? And so who has a favorite board game? Anybody want to share their favorite board game? Sure, Deborah.
I love Careers.
Whew, praise the Lord. I thought you were going to say win, lose, or draw. No. All right, Thomas.
Monopoly.
Monopoly, yes. And Thomas says that with a smug look on his face as he destroys us every time he plays Monopoly with us. You're batting 1,000 today, brother. Brother Bill.
My son-in-law has one they call Murder.
Mm.
It's a marble game going around the board, and you just keep bumping people back to make them start over.
Oh, it means kind of like Sorry, but with marbles.
Yes,
oh, okay.
Like, it's the same thing almost.
Sounds
they,
good.
They call it Murder.
All right, Sam.
Are you Scout?
Yeah.
I like Speak Out.
Speak Out. Oh, yeah, Speak Out. That's a fun game for sure. Anybody else have a favorite? No, I was going through some ideas for board games, and I thought, I would guess that we could preach a message, a sermon, on every single board game there is. I mean, I don't know all the board games out there, but there are so many. Like, you think about Clue. Every sin that you have in your life, God will find out, right? Monopoly, a great sermon on personal finances, huh? You can do that. You know, Sorry. Well, enough said there. You don't even have to explain that one. Risk, doing what God has called you to do no matter what, right? Trivial Pursuit, God's answers to life's most complex questions. Or what about Candyland, you know, finding your sweet spot in Christ's kingdom. Or Scrabble, when life is confusing, God can make sense of it all. And then there's that game that everybody loves, where you pop the little bubble. Do you remember the name of that game?
Trouble.
And we've all been in that before, huh? Amen. But I'm telling you, it's kind of like that game of life. What was the passphrase for that game? Does anybody remember what they used to say? You can be a winner at the game of life, right? And so all these different board games are fun, and they can teach you lifelong lessons. You can learn all kinds of neat things in those games. But we're not playing a game. We're living a real version of life, amen? And so we need somebody to follow that's really going to be able to teach us about how to be successful in life. And in Philippians chapter 3, that's exactly what Paul does. He's telling us how to really be successful in life. And so if you still have your Bibles open there, keep open there. I'm going to go through a couple of those verses. I want to share them with you. Because every one of us wants to be successful in life, amen?
Amen.
I'm not very convinced. Doesn't sound like you guys really want to be. Does everybody want to be successful in life?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I do too. Amen. So as you're turning there, you know, I've been traveling on planes quite a bit lately. Not for enjoyment, but for work. And as I travel back and forth, to and fro, I see all these business people. They're all dressed up in their nice suits and their nice ties and the perfect pants and shoes, which I have none of those. But anyway, they go through there and they go to these books. There's these sections where you can buy books, right? And you can even rent them now in the airport. You can rent them at one airport and then you can take them back at a different airport, kind of like Redbox does, but with books. And so I look over there, what is the most common book that people are buying? And people are going there and they're picking about all these books about success. All these books about success. And so I wrote down a couple of names of them. One of them is called The Power Within You by Claude Bristol. I never read it. Can't really recommend it or go against it. It might be a great book. But I see lots of people picking them up. How I Raised Myself from Failure to Success by a man called Frank Bettiger. Not sure about that book either, but I know several people are picking it up. Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Saw several pick that one up. And then How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. I have read that book. I think that's a great book. And so the thing is that all these people are looking for a quick fix of how do I get successful in life. And the thing is, success in life is not going to happen by reading a book. Success in life is a lifelong learning experience. Amen? And so I don't know about you, but I learn a lot better from models than I do from manuals, right? Some people learn great. You can read a book and learn everything about it. Other people, they need a role model to follow. And I'm one of those people. I need a role model to follow. So do you have a role model today? Think about it. I mean, we all know that Jesus should be our role model. But right here on earth that we have today, is it your grandmother, grandfather, mom or dad, a friend? A person who you see has what you attain or want to attain sometime. I mean, who really is your role model? As I was thinking through that, there's so many great role models in the Bible. But Paul was one of those people for me. He's one of those people that stood in the gap, who said what he meant and meant what he said. He was a man of integrity, a man who went forward and did what God called him to do. And so I look at Paul kind of as a role model in those ways. And I believe he lived life to the full. He made his life count for Christ. Was he perfect? No, we all know what he did as Saul, right? He caused all kinds of havoc and all kinds of trouble. But guess what? Alan's caused all kinds of havoc and all kinds of trouble too. So I can identify with him a little bit. And I just think he's a good man to follow. I mean, if you look at Paul, he gives us this encouragement in Philippians 3:17. He says this, he says, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern." Basically, he's saying, follow the pattern, follow the example that I've set. So in today's sermon in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14, I just want to walk you through four key principles that can help you have a more successful life. Help you to be able to enjoy the life that you have today, okay? So the first one is this. The key to success, the first key I want to share with you is facing your shortcomings. I think we established last week when we were talking about wipe your slate clean for 2019 is what I titled the message. I think we all established the fact that no one of us is perfect, right? Remember that board and we were writing down all those different things? None of us are perfect. I mean, we all have different issues. None of us have it all together. You and I still have a long way to go. But in order to face our shortcomings, we have to know where we are today. We have to know where we are today, right? We got to take a baseline. Here's where I am today so that we can know if we're making an improvement by tomorrow. I remember a Wednesday night Bible study where Dave Whittington, he was just having a rough day. And he came in and he said, I'm just having one of those days, and I just don't feel like much in me has changed. And I remember people in Wednesday night Bible study looking around like, what? What are they talking about? And so people started sharing, Dave, let me tell you about this. Let me tell you about that. Let me tell you about this. And boy, it was encouraging for him because he didn't see all those changes that God was doing in his life. But all the people on Wednesday night were sharing with him, Dave, you've changed a ton. And so we've got to take inventory of where we are right now in our life so that we can understand where we want to go. Paul writes this, he says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Paul's saying, I don't claim to have it all together. Paul's not pretending like he's perfect. He says, I don't have it all together. He says, I don't claim to be a success. I don't claim to be perfect. I'm just striving to get closer to Christ. That's all I want to do. And so for me, that's an amazing statement. Why? Well, because Paul's writing this, right? Think about all the things that man went through in his life. I mean, without God working through Paul, we wouldn't have most of the New Testament today.
Amen.
Right. I'm telling you. And then not only that, is Paul and the Lord and other disciples, they went and spread the word of God all throughout the Roman Empire. Where would the word of Christ be today without Paul following God's leading? So for this man who's done this many things, who's been shipwrecked, beaten, left for dead, all those things, for him to say, I haven't reached it yet. I'm not perfect. I still have faults. I'm still trying to get better. That's encouragement for me to know that, hey, I haven't reached it yet either. I'm still trying. But notice Paul never gives up. He never gives up. And so there's a fact of success. If you want to be a Christian and you want to move forward, not only do you got to see where am I at today, but you also got to continue to move forward. A success metric of Christians is they keep growing, they keep learning, they keep expanding. And those are the things that we have to focus on too. I love that Paul said, I have not arrived. And church, that's a concept that maybe some of us don't have, some of us don't think about, because we come into church and we want to pretend like everything's perfect in our life. We want to come to church, well, we better not let anybody know that we argued in the parking lot before we came in. Well, we better not let anybody know about this thing at home. Well, we better not let anybody know. I mean, we've got to look perfect. We're going into church. But I'm thankful that Paul's not like that. He says, I'm not perfect. I'm trying to get that way. I'm trying to follow God, but I'm not perfect. And so Christians today, they try to pretend like everything's okay. Well, when you try to pretend like everything's okay, you don't get the help that you need. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 28:13. I put this in your bulletin. You might want to circle this so you can look it up and read it with your own eyes. But here's what it says. It says, he who keeps his sins secret will not do well. But one who is open about them and gives them up will get mercy. So do you want to pretend like everything's okay? Or do you want to open up and be like, Lord, I need some help and have mercy? I want mercy, amen?
Amen.
So that's Proverbs 28:13 says, he who keeps his sins secret will not do well, but one who is open about them and gives them up will get mercy. So folks, the first thing about being successful and living a good life is be honest with yourself. Don't hide things. Be honest with yourself, who you are, where you're at now, and set a goal of where you want to become. The second thing is you got to let go of your past. There's some people that live on their past. They live on the past successes. There was a movie Angela had me watch one day. Boy, she was so excited about this. Let me tell you, it was many years ago. We lived in Georgetown, Texas. And she came up and she said, Alan, we've got to watch this movie, Napoleon Dynamite. It is the greatest movie ever. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen that movie, Napoleon Dynamite. But it's got this guy who is he's about my age. And maybe he was good at football when he was a kid. I don't know. I don't remember that part of the movie. But all the time, he's got this weird little band and a weird video thing set up. And he's always practicing throwing. Like he's trying to get in the NFL or something. And I'm like, what is the point of this story? I watched that whole movie. And you know, I had no idea what it was about. I mean, there was no plot. And I looked over at Angela and I'm like, what was this even about? She's like, it's hilarious. Yeah, there's some funny parts, but like, what is it about? She's like, I don't know. You want to watch it again? No, I'm good. But it had this guy. He was trying to relive his past by continuing just to throw these footballs, to throw this ball. He was living on the success he had years ago. And sometimes as Christians, we try to do that too. We say, well, I did all these great things then. Well, you know what? It's good that you did those great things then. But what are you doing now for God? Like, we're even moving forward or we're moving backwards. There's no staying the same. And then there's other groups that they look at their past and they said, I've done this. I've made this mistake. I'm a failure. I can't move forward. And all they do is they dwell on their past and all the bad things that have happened. And they continue to mow over them in their mind until it just eats their soul. Right? And so Paul, he says, we've got to learn to let go of our past. He says, one thing I do, forget about those things which are behind and reach forward to those things which are ahead. You see, success involves learning how to forget things too. And you know what's funny as human beings, Bill, is what cracks me up. Is that, and many of you who are older will think this is funny, I think too, is that we somehow can't remember the important things. Right? We forget the important things, but we remember all the bad things. Right? Isn't that funny? Like, I can say, hey, what did you eat yesterday? And if it was good, you might not remember. But if it was bad, you're going to remember. Oh, I went over here. All the food was terrible. I didn't like it. The service was horrible. But if you went somewhere good, you're like, I don't know. I think I had a cheeseburger last night. And I don't remember where I got it. You know, and then that extends to our family memories, too. All these great memories, somebody brings it up and you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that. But then the bad memories, you remember those forever. I remember when we invited that person over for Thanksgiving and they robbed our house, those jerks. You know, but you don't remember the good things. And so he says, look, you can't live off the past. You've got to forget the things in the past. You've got to live in the future. Don't let the past control you anymore. And there's a big difference between holding on and letting go, right? And God even tells us about that. In Luke 9:62, he says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So what is he really telling us? He's telling us, don't sit there and have a pity party about what happened in the past. Pull your bootstraps up and let's move forward and focus on what God has for us in the future. Amen? Amen? I mean, if you think about the Old Testament story, right? What happened to Lot's wife in Genesis 19:26? She turned back and turned into what? Salt. And only thing she had to do was what? Not turn back. You're being saved. Get out of here. Just don't look back, whatever you do. Well, that's how we all are, though. I mean, even from the age of when we're a kid, right? Is you can do anything you want, but don't do this one thing. Mom and dad are gone. You're in there, aren't you? I mean, same thing that God told Adam and Eve, right? You can eat of all these trees. You can have any of this stuff. Just don't touch this one. You know, I mean, that's what we do. So Shannon was joking with me one day. She said, you want to know how to fill the sanctuary of the church? She said, build a 12-foot high fence around the whole building and say, no one is allowed. She said, you have people crawling over the walls to come to church. But that's how we are as people, you know? That's how we are as people. And so we got to get rid of that past stuff. We got to forget that past stuff. Let's just focus on today. Let's focus on today. And so the third point I have is, not only do we have to focus on today, but we also have to focus on the future. Living day by day is a little scary. Has anybody ever lived like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a company in Austin, Texas called Manpower. Great company, I thought. I mean, my dad worked there at times. And what happened is you'd go in and you'd work one day. And then when you came home, you were paid. So every day you worked, you've got money. And so it was great for those people that were passing through town. For those that were struggling, they could get money easily and work for their money. So it was a good process. But I can tell you that that caused a lot of stress in people's life. Because they were only prepared to take care of themselves for that one day. How many people, you don't have to raise your hands, but live in a situation where you live paycheck to paycheck? That's a tough situation. You're always wondering, where is this going to come from? What happens if this bill goes up? What happens if this happens? I mean, you're always in a tough situation. So we got to focus on the future. right? Successful people are goal-oriented. They focus on the future. I remember when Shannon and I first got married, the goal we set, we're 18 years old, just young kids. And Shannon looked at me. She's always been a goal-planning person. She said, you know what? I think we should plan out where we're going to be 5 years from now. I said, 5 years from now, I'll be lucky to be alive. I was in the military, and she was working at Sonic. I made $638 a month. Woo, we were rich. Life was good, right? We were pretty poor. But we had enough money that we couldn't get food stamps, that we couldn't get on any government assistance, but yet we were still struggling like there was no tomorrow. I was in the military, serving our country, and working in a pizza place part-time so that we could afford food. Thanks to my mother-in-law dropping off little baskets and putting $20 bills in the couch. I mean, that's how we survived. So she says to me, she says, well, in 5 years, I want us to buy a house. You know what I did? Angela looked at her and started laughing like there was no tomorrow. I'm like, what? We can't even afford an apartment, a mobile home. We can't get a house. Are you crazy? But guess what? We saved. We worked hard. We prayed. We had a goal, a purpose. And we had our first house when we were 23. It happened. All because we had a goal. You see, Paul says his goal is to press onward, to keep moving forward, to be more like Christ. You can sit here today and say, I want to be like more like Jesus next year. I want to be closer to Christ next year. I want my relationship with God to be better than it is today, tomorrow. But if you don't plan for it, it's not going to happen. If you're not saying, I'm going to try to study my Bible more. I'm going to try to pray more. I'm going to try to go to church more. Whatever it is you're trying to do, I'm going to try to serve in the community more. You're not going to be more like Jesus by just wanting it. It's not enough to dream about stuff. I mean, you've got to have a plan. You've got to have a future. You've got to move forward that. Otherwise, you're never going to make it. So Paul says, again, brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended. He says, I haven't arrived yet. But one thing I do is forgetting those things that are behind me, and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. If you want to be successful today, you have to have a goal, and you have to pursue that goal. You have to look forward to it. In 1 Corinthians 9:24 and 25, the Bible says, do you not know that in race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Amen. Forever. Think about that. If you want to live a successful Christian life, folks, it takes effort. It takes planning. The fourth and final thing I want to share with you is you got to fight to win. You got to fight to win. You see, we have an enemy out there, an adversary, the devil. He wants to tear you down and rip you apart and laugh as he destroys you and your family and everything that you love. And sometimes life gets hard, doesn't it? How many of us have ever just wanted to lay down on our back when life gets hard? Yeah. But you know what? That means I lose. I'm a competitive person. I don't cheat at games. I don't cheat in life. But I play to win every time. I want to win. Otherwise, what's the purpose of playing? It's a waste of time. We used to have this competition between the Bethel Free Will Baptist Church and Kansas City, Kansas. And it was about basketball. So we'd get together and we would play to see who had the best basketball team. Why? I don't know. But we did. And it was fun. And so the first year, they had all these big, tall people, and we thought, like, this was just a fun and game thing, right? But no. They had all these big, tall people, and we had all these little kids. So we got adults, little kids, dribbling the ball, trying to shoot big kids, like, adults, like, psh, slapping little kids' balls. And I went, what? What kind of garbage is that? So we came back the next year. We brought some big kids. I don't know if any of you know Tramell, Rhonda's son and Ron's grandson. I was like, Tramell, he always plays basketball. Like, man, I might need some help, dude. You want to come on my team? And I was about to go recruit people from Emporia State University. Here's $100. Come play basketball with us. We're getting that trophy back. Why? Because I play to win. Don't you? If you're going to run in the race, you got to run in a way that's going to make you win. That's what this is talking about. Otherwise, don't even run. So there's times where you want to lay down, where you feel like everything you have is exhausted. But I want you to think about this. That adversary you have, Satan, he's happy when you're at the weakest point in your life. He's happy when you're laying on your back and you feel like you can't get up. But you've got a cheerleader. You've got a Lord and Savior who came to deliver you from everything that you face. Who wants to lift you up. Who's got his hand out there saying, come on, man, you can do it. I believe in you. And all you have to do is step up and take his hand. He'll do the rest. Sometimes the hardest thing in the world is reaching up to grab his hand. It'll be the best thing you ever did. If you're going to fight, you fight to win. Paul said, I press toward the goal for the prize, the upward call in God and Christ Jesus. That word press in Greek, it means to chase after it like a hunter chases after prey. If you needed that deer meat so that your family could live, would you say, oh, darn, it got away? Bring back a bunch of grass to your family? Nope. You can already pay like $10 for a bowl of grass and ranch dressing at any restaurant. If you were going, I think they call it salad. I mean, if you were going after that meat to save your family, you would chase that deer down, right?
Run it over.
That's what they do in Kansas, right? Hit them with your truck. But you're supposed to shoot them, I guess. Anyway, we won't get into all that. But Paul had determination. He didn't give up. He had determination. He had commitment. He was fighting to win. This man was shipwrecked. He was left for dead, but it never stopped him. Even when he was in prison, he was writing letters to other churches to encourage them. That's the kind of man Paul was. That's the kind of man Alan wants to be. That's the kind of man or woman maybe you want to be. But there are times where we fall on our back. But a successful person won't lay down there. They'll reach their arm up. They'll ask for the Lord's help. Somebody else's help around them. It has to be pulled up. Successful people in life, you know what they are? Ordinary people with an extraordinary amount of determination. Amen. That's it. It's the only thing that's different between them. Paul said, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. And then 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, I fought the good fight. I finished the race, and I kept the faith. Wouldn't you like to be able to say that? I fought the fight, I finished the race, and I kept the faith. You know, I look at Bill, and sometimes it just makes me sad how much work he has to do and how bad his hip hurts. But I look at him, and I see a type and shadow of Paul. And I think about it, no matter how bad that hip hurts, no matter how bad Angela's foot hurts with this gout stuff, they get up, they go to work, they put a smile on their face, support their family, and even try to encourage others. Bill, I know it's been rough, but that hip's not going to bother you forever. Someday it's going to be healed. Whether it's fixed here by doctors or it's fixed in heaven, it's going to be gone someday. And so I just keep thinking about that. Think about that as you run the race. You know, Ronnie and Connie, I know things aren't great. You're in an unsettled place. It's tough to be in a house that you can't even call your own. Living out of boxes. We lived in a motel for 6 weeks when we came up here. And Satan was attacking us stronger than he ever attacked us. I'm like, what am I doing up here? I have a 4,000 square foot house in Austin I can go live in. I can make a ton of money and just go back there. Why am I suffering and living in this tiny little motel with my sister-in-law, Angela, no offense, and my wife and kids and this rabbit that later got like killed by a hawk or something. But I mean, like, why? And so Satan, he would attack me. He'd be like, well, we should... you don't even know those people. There's like four people in the whole church. Just go home. So it would have been easy to give up. But look at the blessings that God brought because of faithfulness. Your faithfulness will bring blessings in your life too. Don't give up. So I know it's hard. I know you guys are living in an unsettled place. But God's going to answer your prayer. You're going to have a great place where your grandkids are going to be able to come. You're going to have fun. You're going to be able to unpack your stuff and paint things different colors. You'd be like Bill and Joyce over there. I mean, you may even have your own craft room. And, well, Ronnie, Bill got thrown into the garage, so it's not much encouragement for you, but I don't know what to tell you there. But at least he has his own place, right? Praise the Lord. We're going to install bunk beds in there later for all of us men. But I mean, I know it's tough, but you can handle it. You know, Lee Whittington, if you're listening out there, if you're listening to this message, Lee, I know it's tough for him. He's fighting battles with child support custody, trying to get his children he loves so much to bring them, trying to find him a place that he can call his own, dealing with all kind of financial battles. It's not going to last forever. Someday it'll be over. Keep the faith. Work hard. Trust the Lord and do the right things, and God will bless you. Keep on keeping on. Don't give up. Many people in our church are facing battles today. David, still trying to hire the right employees. Constant battle that he faces at work. George, trying to get over shingles. Big battle. Jordan's looking for a new place to work. Worked on his resume this last week. It's a battle for him. Alva, Ron, and Dave are always dealing with some crazy health issue that's trying to sneak up, trying to steal their joy from them. So I know that's tough. I know we have people in here, and I can't share their names, but are dealing with relationship problems and depression and financial struggles. We have all kinds of stuff that's going on, folks, but there's a silver lining. We serve a God who wants us to win. So don't lay down on your back. Don't give up. Fight with every breath left in your body. Because I'll tell you, the way you're striving toward the goal of being like Jesus Christ, there is no better goal you could have in your entire life. Paul said, I'm not going to quit. No matter what happens, I won't give up. Embrace that attitude. Church, God's not going to give up on you. There's another scripture I put in your bulletin. I want you to circle and underline in your Bible later. Philippians 1:6 says this: I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know what that means? It means Jesus didn't give up on you. That's what it means. It means that I'm sure of this: he who started a good work in you will continue it until completion. The only thing that can stop that is you. God wants to take you and do great things with you. When God starts something, he finishes it, folks. Here's another one, Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary while we are doing good, for in due season we shall reap a harvest if we do not lose heart. Listen to that again. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap a harvest if we do not lose heart. Don't give up. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your life. Don't give up on your dreams. You'll reap a harvest when the proper time comes if you don't give up. God wants you to live a successful Christian life. He wants you to fight the fight. He wants you to put your faith, your hope, your trust in him. So as I close today, if you really want a successful life, you're the only thing that's holding you back. It's not your work situation. It's not your home situation. It's not your financial situation. If you want to have a successful life, take these 4 points that God teaches us through Paul. First, face your shortcomings. Continue to learn and grow in your knowledge of the Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Second, don't dwell on the past. Learn from past mistakes and move forward. Learn from past successes and move on. Third, focus on the future. Set goals and work towards those goals. Your first goal this year should be trying to be more like Jesus Christ. And the fourth thing is fight to win. Don't give up. Run that race to get that crown. The race that you're running isn't for a single crown that only one of us could have, but it's one that we all have that lasts for eternity. Fight the good fight, keep the faith, and live for our Lord and Savior. Let's stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today, God, because on our hearts, Lord, we have a lot of great dreams. We have a lot of great visions. But the world is tough. Situations in our life are tough. And sometimes, God, they make us just want to walk away. But Lord, let us look to you, God, as an example. Jesus, how hard was it on you when you went to that Garden of Gethsemane and you got down on your knees and you prayed? And you said to take that cup from me. But nevertheless, not your will, but your Father's will in heaven. Lord, you knew what you were going to have to go through for us. The torture, the beatings, the blood on the cross at Calvary. For us. God, if you did all that for us, why are we thinking about even giving up, God? Look at what you went through and you never even did anything wrong. Lord, give us strength today. Strengthen us. Give us discernment. Give us wisdom, Lord. Help us to go out there and conquer these fears, to overcome, Lord. God, help us to seek you. We don't want to be in the same shape we are today, next week, or next month, Lord. Help us to grow closer to you. And that only happens by working toward it, by spending time with you. Life may throw a lot of troubles at us, God, but there is nothing bigger than you, Lord. Help us to remember that. You fought the good fight. You finished the race. And now you're sitting at the right hand of your Father in heaven. Someday we're going to be up there too. You said you are preparing a place for us to live. And that if you left, you would come back and get us. Jesus, we believe in that. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us people like Paul, who have gone through tough times, who have been shipwrecked and left for dead, who have been beaten and left in prison all because of their faith and their belief, but never gave up. What an inspiration, God. Help us not to give up. Lord, we want to be successful. God, we want to live in a way, God, that glorifies you. And people look at us and say, that man, that woman is a Christian. Look at how they're going through that. Lord, we want to encourage other people, God. Thank you, Lord, for being our greatest advocate the world could ever hope to have. Thank you for giving us that scripture in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, that you will forgive us. Help us to move forward. Jesus, we love you. We can't thank you enough for what you've done today. If there's somebody here, Lord, that's going through a battle right now, that's tired of fighting, that's weak, maybe the strongest place they can come is right before your altars today on their knees and say, God, you're the only one in the world that understands what I'm going through, Lord. My wife doesn't understand. My kids don't understand. My husband doesn't understand. My parents don't understand. The pastor couldn't understand. Only you, God, could understand. Lord, let me share this burden with you. Give me strength. Come up and pray. This is your time. You came here not to see me. You came here to worship the living God. Come and worship. If he's leading you to come and pray, come and pray. If he's leading you to sing, go ahead and sing. We're going to sing this verse of invitation. Tim 274. Lord, I'm coming home.
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming. Love, Lord, I'm coming.